Very thankful for the song service and the prayer that Brother Darrell offered on our behalf, and would ask that you would pray for me, that God would use me to deliver a message. It would not only be good for you, it'd be good for me, and more importantly, it would bring honor and praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, at best, life is very short, and sometimes the challenges are very huge. We often get caught up in life with the afflictions that we deal with, the trials and the troubles, and then all of a sudden we look up and there's not a lot of time left. And you know, even if you got 20 or 30 years, and if you look back behind you and realize how fast the last 20 or 30 years have went by, you realize that time is of the essence. It really is. I went to my uncle's funeral 4, 5, 6 months ago. I'm not exactly sure when it was, and I told my cousin that sure hated meeting this way. We had some pretty big family reunions, especially on Mom's side of the family, because the family is extremely large. There's a lot of us, and you know, it's not exactly the way you enjoy getting together. Well, we had another one of those family reunions last week, and I told my cousin at the first one, I said, you know, unfortunately, we've got a lot more of those to come, likely sooner than later. And it just gives you a realization of where you are in life. And when I think about what Brother Don said, the older I get, the more that I think about what really is the meaning of life. You know, it won't be long till we're gone, and as Solomon said, we'll be forgotten. You know, and that's the truth. I can look back at some of the most dear people in my life, and I haven't totally forgotten them, but it's not something I dwell upon every day. By God's grace, we move on, don't we? Solomon was exactly right. We don't dwell upon it. We don't mourn it for the rest of our life, but we move on. And I can accredit that to nothing but the grace of God. And whatever your afflictions might be, it's by God's grace that you move on. And there's no saying time heals all wounds. I don't know if there's really any true healing to it, but God allows us by His grace to move on, to get beyond, you might say, and to continue to live. It doesn't totally ruin our life. If it were not for our faith, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, where would you and I be, honestly? If you didn't have any faith, it'd mean you didn't have any hope. Hope is something that for the child of God, lets him put one foot in front of the other regardless of the circumstances that he may face. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, the Bible tells us that those who have went on to be with the Lord, even though they'll never return to us, we'll go to where they are. One day we're going to see them. It's not the last and it's not the end. But by an eye of faith, we're able to move forward understanding what God has promised us. In hope of eternal life, which God promised, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He promised eternal life. He promised He'd come back and get us. And one day there's going to be a healing in a completeness like you've never known. But God says His grace is sufficient, and it is the strength of our faith that allows us to continue on. You know, I think about the Bible, and I think about the importance this book has in our life. You know, one reason I know this book is so important, there have been novels, there have been multitudes of books written, books that people study in school, books that people study in college. You know, the books that I study in high school for the generation of today are obsolete. They've changed everything up. They got a better book and a better way, a higher technology, a higher type of math. I couldn't deal with a lower grade of math, much less the math they got going on today. But those books fade away. But aren't you amazed, whether you read the Bible or you don't read the Bible, this Bible has been preserved by the power of God, and it will always be here. He promised that. From this generation forever. That tells me that there's something in the Word of God that will make a difference in your life. If it wouldn't make a difference in your life, if there wasn't any benefit to the Word of God, to the child of God, then God would have never preserved His Word from one generation to the next generation, much less forever. But the Bible tells us in Psalms 12 Yeah, thou shalt keep these words, thou shalt keep them forever. We're going to have them because God preserved them, not man. If man had control of preserving the Bible would soon be obsolete, distinct, and out of publication. We wonder sometimes the great attack upon Christianity today and upon the Bible itself, why it's here. It just tells you, by looking at and knowing that the Bible still exists today, as many folks that have been attacking it, trying to get rid of it, it tells you that there is a God in heaven, a God that you can call upon, a God who has the power to keep you, to keep His Word, where we have it today to fulfill our needs, to strengthen our faith. And that's a great blessing that you and I ought to take with us and keep with us every day that we live. You know, the Bible, some will say, it's not easy to read. Well, I tell you what, it wasn't intended to be easy to read, because if that was the case, a person would read it once and never read it again. It's something that we can read over and over and over, and through time, God reveals things to us that we may have read over 100 times and never seen. God gives us light on things. That's why we need to hear it preached. We need to read it. We need encouragement, friends. The Bible encourages the child of God as he goes through this world. Notice in Romans 15 and 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort." How many of you want patience or endurance to be able to endure? How many of you need comfort? We all need comfort. We need comfort when our loved ones pass away. We need comfort when our children do something that we don't like, or go in some stray off in some way that is so sorrowful to us that we can't go on. We need God's comfort. There is no one that can comfort you in this life like the God of heaven. I can try to comfort you, and I can encourage you, and I can pray for you, but there's no one that can comfort you like God can comfort you. He is the comforter. He is the greatest of all beings. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and He can help you whereas no one else can. Your husband can't help you. Your wife can't help you to the extent that God can help you. There's no problem that you have. There's no difficulty that you've went through that God's not fully aware of. There's nothing new with God. He knows your thoughts, your problems, and your needs before you even ask or think it. For our comfort and for our patience, that through the Scriptures we might have hope. How would you like to be living in this life like some people? And I've met some of them who have no hope. They're in a state of despair. Can you imagine as fast as life is passing you and I by, how terrible that'd be if you didn't have a hope beyond this life, a hope beyond this old sinful, cursed world we live in? It'd be terrible. It'd be something that I don't even want to think about. Hope is something that God gives you that goes beyond this natural world. There's a hope that one day you'll never shed another tear. Did you know that? There's a hope one day that you'll never have another sleepless night. And there's even more than hope, that death will never have any more power over you or those you love. Eternity is a place where there'll be nothing like we know here today in this temporal world. It's something that if you really dwell upon it and meditate upon it and think about it, you can really get excited about it. Or I know that I can. There's coming a day when all the problems of this life will never exist. They will be no more. As unhappy as you may be, you'll be the happiest person that ever lived. As many tears as you may shed, you'll never shed another tear. As angry as you may have been at your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son, your worker, your boss, it doesn't matter. You'll never have another day of anger like that. This is a time that's coming in our life that gives us a hope beyond this old sinful world that you and I live in. But God has blessed us to live in this world, and I believe there's some encouraging words for us until that day comes. And I want to take most of my thoughts from a scripture that's very familiar. And I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul made a statement here that I would hope each one of us would sit back and think about, not just today. I hope you think about it right now. And I hope in a week or two you think about it. But as life goes on, I hope it's something that you really think about. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now, I tell you, that's a strong statement, and there's a lot to be said concerning this verse. In verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered." You know, Paul knew something that a lot of you and I don't know. At this very time, Paul knew that his life was fixing to end. I don't mean in a couple of years. I don't have the exact time, but I tell you, it was coming really quick, and he knew it. I believe that God revealed this unto Paul, and he knew that his time of departure was at hand. Now, have you ever had anybody tell you that, what if you knew that you were only going to live today, or that your life was going to end in a week? You honestly knew that. Would you live the next 6 days, 1 day, 30 days, whatever it is, in a short period of time, would you live it any different? Would you tell those that you love how much you love them? How much you cared for them? How precious they are to you? You know, one of the first songs that Garth Brooks ever made famous, What If Tomorrow Never Comes? You know, for some of us that happened, didn't it? It's happened. Tomorrow didn't come for someone that we loved in our life. Where would you and I be if we didn't have the faith and hope that dwells within our heart? If tomorrow never comes. You know, we get caught up in life sometimes and we fail to tell those that we love how much we love them, how much we care for them. And I'm not just talking about husbands and wives and children, brothers and sisters in Christ, neighbors and friends, people that are near and dear to us. It's easy to become content in life and stuck in a rut and not express your feelings and thoughts for someone. You know, when we think about what Paul said here, I think about this in the terms of, when I know my days are drawing nigh, will I be able to say these words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Will I be able to say that I fought a good fight? That tells me there that there are fights that you and I can have in life that are not good fights. You know, have you ever fought with your spouse or your children because they didn't do what you wanted to, or your boss or whoever it might be? Fights that don't bring any peace, any joy, any love. You know, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of thy mouth, except that which is good to the use of edifying, that may administer grace unto the hearer. I mean, basically, if you can't speak good words and edifying words and something to someone, you oughtn't to speak at all. But this verse tells me here there are fights that we have in life that are not good fights. You know, and we're human beings. We're sinners. We desire our own way, not the Lord's way. You know, that's why so many people love Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. They didn't care whether they did it the Lord's way. I did it my way. Elvis Presley actually made that song very popular too. Because that's how we in our selfish nature want to be. I did it my way. I have it my way. I got it my way. It's all about me. But friends, it's really not. We're not nearly as important as we think we are. I certainly know that I'm not. But you know, I still have those tendencies because we're clothed in this old fleshly body. I have fought a good fight. These were Paul's words. He said, and the time of my departure is at hand. I love what Paul says here. Paul didn't say, I'm fixing to cease to exist. Now, what kind of hope would you and I have there? He said, I'm leaving this place where I'm at, and I'm going somewhere else. That's what you do when you depart. You depart from one place to another. And we know where Paul was going to depart to. He said in Romans chapter 7, and I believe it's verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul knew that there was a fight worth fighting. And every one of us have that fight raging within us. I made a statement a few Sundays ago, and I'll make it again. The worst enemy you have in this life is the one you get up and look at in the mirror every morning when you brush your teeth and comb your hair. That's the number one enemy that you have in this life. Because when you look in that mirror, you see someone that wants to be fully pleased and have their way completely. It's our human nature. It's what we desire. And that's what our number one enemy to combat with is that. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I've fought. He said, there's things worth fighting for. Notice what he told Timothy. In 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, as Paul began to get down, to wind down his life, he began to encourage Timothy, a minister in the faith. Paul said, I'm not going to be here from now on. None of us are. You know, Paul told us in Romans chapter 5, wherefore as by sin, one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, So death passed upon all men for all have sinned. We're going to die. If the Lord doesn't come back, that day is approaching each and every one of us. But Paul also said, in a way that was of great encouragement to me, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul had a view that I think he teaches us and encourages us and exhorts us to have that he had. You know, Paul's a miraculous man, and sometimes when we begin to hear Paul's writings and hear it preached about Paul, we think, well, he's a different character. He's not like us. Yeah, God did bless him to be an apostle. But God gave him the power to raise the dead, to heal the sick, like he did the other apostles. But Paul was a man just like you and I. Don't lose sight of that. He was not a superman. He wasn't Batman, Superman, or whatever your superhero might be. He was a sinner. He said he was the chief of sinners. That we need to understand that, because this story about fighting a good fight and finishing a course, it's not a story for good reading. There's a purpose presented to us here in the Bible for our own welfare and our own being in life, for our own good. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. That tells me that there is a fight in this life that's worth fighting. He told Timothy over here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what Paul was fighting, to keep the faith, to continue in the faith. You know, he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Did you know that doctors tell you today, I know especially women and even men, older men, to take self-examinations. Did you know that? I'm not a person that likes the examinations. I don't like a doctor to examine me. I didn't like examinations in school. I didn't like 6 weeks examinations, midterm examinations, final examinations. Examinations is something I just really didn't care for. But Paul says, examine yourselves. He didn't say examine your neighbor, your brother and sister, examine your wife. He said examine yourself. And Lord willing, at some given point, we're going to get into more detail about that maybe next Sunday. But he said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not one of us have seen the Lord Jesus Christ with our naked eye. Not us. There are men that have, but not us. It's by an eye of faith that we believe and that we know that he exists. And do you believe he's right here today? That he sees every move that you're making? Knows every thought you're thinking? Do we really believe that? Because I believe he does. No matter what you're thinking, he knows it. No matter what you're doing, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that. Fight the good fight of faith. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. He didn't say examine yourselves whether you have any faith. You know, the child of God, we're told by Paul in Romans chapter 12, all God's children are given the measure of faith, intrinsic faith that does not increase or decrease, but it's our gospel faith, our outward faith that increases or decreases. You know, we're told to love our enemies. Think about this. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your heavenly Father, that you may be known as God's children. Hey, you may be known as God's offspring. That doesn't make you a child. It makes the folks around you realize you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're a member of his family. That's what that means. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. Have you fought a good fight? You know, the fight goes on in our bodies day in and day out. You know, Jesus said it like this. He says there are two ways. And there's a fight between your spirit and your flesh. One way is broad and wide, and it leadeth to destruction. And if we follow in that way long enough, you may not see destruction immediately. And it may not be the kind of destruction you're thinking of. It may just be unhappiness and misery a great deal of your life. I've known brother and sister like that. It may be misery. There may not be any joy and peace in their heart and in their soul. They're living life with the wrong focus. They're looking unto the world for their needs. Paul said, I've kept the faith. If you go to Rome, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you begin to see what, read all the things that happened to the Apostle Paul. You know, he's in the depths of the ocean a day and a night. He was beaten with stripes. On and on goes what on with what happened to Paul. I've never had anything happen to me like happened to Paul. And on top of that, he had the care of the churches. And yet he kept the faith. His focus is right. His focus was really right. It says, I have fought a good fight, and I've finished my course. We know that Paul was near the end when he said in verse 9, do thy diligence, speaking to Timothy, to come shortly unto me. Diligence means with speed. Paul knew that it was time to go home. And you know, Paul knew he was going to be a martyr. He was beheaded for the truth of the Word of God. Throughout the ages, there's been a remnant of God's people, as I preached a couple of weeks ago, that have stood for the truth. Would you die for the truth of God's Word? Are we that faithful? I don't know that I can even answer that question, but there are men that were, and I believe there still are men, that would stand up and die for the truth of God's Word. That's how important the Lord Jesus Christ is to him and his truth. He said, I've finished my course. This is an interesting statement. You know, we all have a course in life. In Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us that we're running a race, and oftentimes we're beset by the sins of this world very easily. But we're running a race, and when you run a race, you usually have a course to run that race on. But you know, before we were born of the Spirit of God, we also had a course that we went down, not according to the course that God would have had us to go down, but according to the course of nature. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. There was a time by nature that we walked according to the course of this world. And yet from time to time in life we get off course and we walk according to the course of this world. We do. We lose focus. When you get ready to close your eyes and it be the last breath you take, will you be able to say as Paul did, that I've done the best I could, that I've looked unto Jesus Christ? You know, we're told in Revelations 4 and 11 that he was worthy. He's worthy of glory and honor and power. For he hath created all things, and for his pleasure they are and were created. You were created for God's pleasure. And because it was his pleasure to create you and I, it ought to be our greatest desire to give him honor and glory and praise every day that we live. You know, Paul had a hard life. He wasn't married, but he had a hard life. He began as a man who attacked the church and attacked the Lord. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and it was his intention to have anyone that believed in him put in prison or put to death. This is the man we're talking about. Jesus said, I'm going to show this man, after he had his conversion, what great things he must suffer for my name. And Paul never wavered. And he said, I've finished my course. The question is, are you and I going to finish our course? I can show you folks that used to come to church that didn't finish their course. And someone might say, well, that ain't part of the course. No, that is part of the course, because we're commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some. But that's the way it's been down through history. Some have followed the course for a while, and then they faded away. But let's think about Jesus for a minute. Paul said, I have finished the course. Did Jesus not finish his course? Was he not given a course that led to Calvary and to the tomb? And because he finished his course, in you dwells a hope beyond all hope? Because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and the very sins that you have committed, that caused him to have to go to Calvary and be put to death. He finished the course. He kept the faith. You know, there are men who took a course in the life, early times of the United States of America, and that was to free us from religious persecution. And many of them died for the very cause. Jesus Christ himself freed you and I, did he not? We've been made free from the penalty of the law, from the guilt of the law, based upon what he did for you and I. Why did he do that? And why would Paul follow Christ in the manner that he did? He said, I have finished my course. He said, I have done everything I can. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew that living for Christ was not an easy course. He knew that he would be buffeted, thrown in prison, beaten with stripes on multitudes of times, cast into the depth a day and a night. I'm telling you, his life was far harder than yours life and my life was. And yet he kept the faith. He stayed the course. He finished it. He fought that fight that was worth fighting, the good fight of faith. You know, it is Satan himself that wants to attack your faith. Did you know that? And he's been attacking the faith of God's people unbelievably over the last 10 or 20 years in this country. He's always attacked when there was an opening. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How do you resist Satan? How do you resist doing what the world entices you to do along with Satan? By being steadfast in the faith. By being faithful to the end. Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. You know, I believe if we're to finish the course and we're to keep the faith, Jesus Christ always has to be out in front in our lives. We always have to have a view of him. Not behind us, but in front of us. You know, I've seen the dog races on TV where they have this arm sticking out over a dog track and they got a rabbit on it. And these dogs just chase this rabbit round and around the track as it goes around on the track. You know, them dogs wouldn't be chasing that rabbit if it's up on their backside. What do you have in view in your life when you get up every morning? Do you have Christ in view? Are you looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? If you have any faith, it began with Jesus and it will finish with Jesus. It will finish with Jesus. How did Jesus finish? How did he finish? Who for the joy that was set before him? Do you realize that you and all God's children were the joy set before the Lord Jesus Christ? That said, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and it is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he sit down? Because he finished his course. He paid the debt in full. He paid for your sins and he paid for my sins. Is Jesus Christ your joy? Are you fighting a good fight of faith? Are you going to finish your course? You know, it's so easy to get off course. I bet every one of us at some point in time in our life have gotten off course. I know I have. I've gotten way off course. It's very easy to get off course. It's when we take our eyes off of Christ, we get off course. And we begin to look to someone else or something or something in this life. But as Brother Don said last Sunday, everything in this life below the sun, under the sun, is vanity and vexation of the spirit. And it really is. And time draweth nigh and we'll be here no more. Have you ever just thought a little while what life is really about? How caught up we get in all the noise out here and the things that are not really important? If you don't have God in view at all times, there's nothing else important. Because eternity is what is important. You know, there's been many who've fallen by the wayside who have not kept the faith. That didn't keep them out of heaven. But I tell you, I don't believe those folks are happy. I don't believe they have joy in their soul. I don't believe they have real joy in their soul. They have real peace in their soul. I see people out in life, they're going in every direction trying to seek out joy and peace from this world and they never obtain it, and if they obtain it for a little bit, they never keep it. Because real peace and real joy and real happiness can only come with right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be in view every day when we get up. And we must talk to him every night when we go to bed. I believe that. Because I believe life is about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's not about this stuff that's going to be burned up. We're not taking it with us. It belongs to the Lord to begin with. I don't care what you got and how much of it you got. It's God's. He lent it to you for a little time. Till you're called home to glory to be with him. What do you have in view as you walk through life? Are you leaning on your own strength, or are you trusting the Lord with all your heart, with all thine heart? You know, Jesus had us in view. He came to do the Father's will. And the Father's will of all which he had given, he should lose nothing but raise him up again at the last day. He seen the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied. He kept the faith. Some of you say, well, he was God. He done what I can't do. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He humbled himself to the death of the cross. He put on human flesh. He felt pain and suffering just like you and I did. If he didn't, his sacrifice wouldn't have been accepted by the Father. He suffered what you and I should have suffered. Paul suffered greatly for the namesake of Jesus Christ. But he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And at the end of his day, he said, I kept the faith. When our life gets close to being over, do you think you'll be able to say, I've fought a good fight? You know, the fight dwells and goes on within us, within our spirit, and within our flesh. It's an ongoing battle. Are you going to be able to say, I fought the good fight? Are you going to be able to finish the course? You know, as I see going down through time, there'll be one fall away here and one fall away there. Are you going to be able to finish the course? I think about what Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 6. And with these words, I'll have some closing remarks. But he made a statement here that's really true that I believe should be in the utmost parts of our heart. It says, these things in verse 59 of chapter 6, said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? This was not easy for these folks. They didn't want to hear it. And then they said, how can we possibly do that? Verse 66, we go on down. He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He wasn't addressing the wicked. He was talking about people that once followed him. They went back and walked with him no more. Then he came to the 12. Then Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Can you imagine the Savior and the Creator of the world who came down to save sinners, asking sinners, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who would we go to? If you can't go to the Lord, who would you go to? What hope would you have? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. The hope that we have in this life is in Jesus Christ. I hope that when our last days come, I certainly hope in mine, and I think about it, I meditate upon it, and I've thought about it more times than one, will I be able to truly, with an honest heart, say, I have fought a good fight? I hope so. I hope I finish the course. You know, there are distractions, there are discouragements. There are things that oftentimes, with the help of Satan, it causes us to get off course. You know, that's the importance of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He said, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. You know, so oftentimes, the first thing that we do in life is blame someone else for our problems. Maybe we quit doing something because we don't like what's going on there. And we're going to find out next week when he asks this question, the purpose in it. Purpose in it. He says, examine yourselves. That's to take a look inside of you, not on your outward surroundings, not on your spouse, not on your children. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. He tells you to prove that. And I think being in the faith is being more like Jesus Christ every day. Doing things the way that Jesus Christ did them. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty toward God in the pulling down of strongholds, as we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Our weapons are not carnal. You know, a lot of people would read the story about Jesus and they'd say he's weak. And he was the God who spoke creation into existence. Because he didn't fight with the sword. He didn't kill them over immediately. They would think he's a weak God. But when God speaks, it's done. You remember when they arrested him after that night in the garden? When he said, I am he, or you say? They fell backwards. Every man that was there just at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he had more mercy and compassion. He didn't say things. He didn't say foul language. He didn't use guns. He didn't use swords. Peter took out a sword, cut off the ear of one of those men, and Jesus immediately reattached it. That's not the weapons that we use. How we please and honor Jesus Christ is becoming more like him, to focus on him every day. Treat others the way that Jesus treated others. Speak to the others the way that Jesus spoke to the others. You know, we were created for his pleasure. And when we try our best to do what he said and walk in his paths, we fought a good fight. And I know brethren that have fought that fight till they were laid in the grave. I believe some of those brethren I know would have took a bullet for the Lord. That's how much they loved him. You know, we all hope we do that. But the Bible tells us greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends, but Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. It's a great thing to lay down your life for a friend. Greatest love you can express. But Jesus laid down his life for people that didn't love him. People that were his enemies to the cross. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were his enemies. We didn't want him. We didn't desire him. And yet he died for us. That's an expression of love that you and I cannot partially perceive. May God bless us as we enter the last days of our life and from this time forward to be able to say, as Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. God bless us to finish that course, however long that course is, that we may say, I've kept the faith. May God bless you this morning, and I pray that each one of us will keep the faith, stay strong in our faith, because it's not always easy to do. You know, that's what overcomes Satan, being steadfast in the faith. May God bless us to do that.